When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a Noah Hanifin's Been Traded edition of our Calgary Flames rebuild stream. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you so much for popping by. So Hanifin is now a member of the Vegas Golden Knights through the Philadelphia Flyers, who get an extra pick from Vegas in salary cap retention stuff. The Flames get a first, basically a third, and a prospect, not even prospect, AHL defenseman that no one is overly excited about. So a lot of people a little bit underwhelmed, I would say, with everything that the Flames got, or I guess didn't get in this particular situation. But I mean, like, the difficult thing about the Hanifin trade was always, like, he has a modified no trade. And once his agent got involved, and I said it on my podcast, Couch Potato Diary, for those of you who don't know, like, it really did feel like that leak of, like, oh, well, he's only going to re-sign with, he's only going to sign an extension with Tampa Bay. Like, once that was said, you knew that the Flames lost quite a bit of leverage, and that it was always going to be difficult to get the full return that you wanted. So that was a little shitty that all went down that way. So yeah, the official trade: a conditional first, either 2025 or 2026, a conditional third in 2025, and defenseman Daniil Miramanov. The condition on the first is if Vegas trades their 2025 first in the next couple of days, then it becomes a 2026 first that the Flames get. If not, it's a 2025. The conditions on the third round pick for 25, if the Vegas Golden Knights win a round, then Calgary gets a second round pick instead. Which, look, I mean, there's a chance Vegas is a wild card team, but they are loading up, so you feel pretty good about Vegas winning a round in the postseason. So there's a pretty good chance that becomes a second round pick. And so overall, it's not a bad return for Noah Hanifin. It's not the home run you wanted. It ends up, we'll see what happens with Markstrom here in the next 24, 25 hours. But I do think that, like, it's going to end up that the Lindholm deal, playing Detroit, I got mixed up. The Lindholm deal is going to be the home run for the Flames here, and that is, it's not what I expected, because Hanifin, for a long time, he was at the top of a lot of trade boards, because this was, this was, like, one of the best defensemen available, and a guy that a lot of teams coveted. And you see how he played this year. Like, did not get off to a good start. He was very clearly, I think, upset that he was starting the year with the Flames. The way the season started, you would not be able to convince me otherwise. But then, as the year went along, I truly believe we saw the best Noah Hanifin in the NHL this year. I think his ability to read the play in the offensive zone, jump in, and create some opportunities offensively, like, he's already tied a career high for goals this year. His ability to do that, his growth in the defensive end, I think helped by having Tanev as a partner. I think all of that combined made this the best year we have seen from Noah Hanifin. And so it's unfortunate that the agent gets involved, or that the Lightning leaked that, or whatever it was that ends up making this return a little bit less. So that's why this deal not being a home run is a bit disappointing from a Calgary perspective. But I do think that it's not a bad return. Oh, funny that he scores while we're playing this one. Toxic, looks like we'll be Stars and Vegas fans this playoff. Yes, that's 100%. And not bad teams to get behind. And yeah, Big John, this alternate universe Flames team is absolutely one you can get behind. A real gritty bunch that is battling for every piece of ice, I think. But looking at this trade, like the first round pick, I like that it's in 25 or 26. I think it gives you more of a chance for just the randomness of sports to come in, and Vegas just has an off year in one of those years. Also, like, this team already has a couple picks in the first round this year, so why not kind of spread that out a little bit and get spread this the big moves here and the retooling assets, spread that out to 24 or to 25 26, and so you're reaping the benefits of this for years down the line. It spreads out different contracts and all those things, so I like that part of this. And I also like the conditional third that turns into a second. Like I said, this Vegas team is really good, and they are getting better, obviously, with the Hanifin deal here. Like, this defense is insane. So I do think that, oh, I'm getting Anthony Mantha as well, and they still have to play with their 24 and 25 first round picks. So they are going to be in a good spot to at least win a round here. So getting a second round pick out of this, a first and a second, you feel like that's an okay return for a rental player, basically. And the Daniil Miramanov thing, like, it's not a guy we're overly familiar with. I do like what Darren Haynes pointed out on X earlier, kind of shouting out that, look, that, like, he's only played 27 some odd games in the NHL. It's kind of tough to break through that defense out in Vegas, right? Like, it's difficult to make it so to make it onto that Vegas team with Theodore and with Martin and with Petrangelo and all those guys. So this is not just a regular, I think, AHL guy who just hasn't been able... not sure what that was, who hasn't been able to crack a depleted roster. This is a very good defensive group that he wasn't able to get through. So I'm not saying that this guy's going to break out in a big-time way and all of a sudden they have the next Noah Hanifin in this trade, but it does kind of go along a little bit more from what we've seen with Craig Conroy in this retool and what they've been trying to find so far in guys who haven't had the opportunities yet to shine. And so now here in Calgary, they're going to have more of a chance to prove themselves and more of a chance to kind of get some reps in higher leverage situations at the NHL level. And we can see where that goes. And so far, I'd say it's worked. Like, you've got best case scenario out of Sharangovic. Kuzmenko just had a couple of goals and I think has really helped in transforming the power play for the Flames. And so, I'm not saying that this Miramanov fellow is going to do that with Calgary, but it does kind of go in line with everything that we have kind of seen him do and this Flames team kind of work with so far. So overall, I like the trade. I don't love the trade. It's one that I think, like, kind of earlier in the process, you would have absolutely turned down. And now that we're kind of getting late in the game here, approaching this deadline, it's, I don't want to say it's better than nothing, because that shouldn't be the barometer here. But it is, I think it is still a good trade for the Flames to make. And from a Vegas standpoint, like, it's a no-brainer. This team is going for Stanley Cups now. They have done a masterful job of maneuvering different salary cap things and making it so that this roster continues to be an absolute threat at the NHL level. So for Vegas, this makes all the sense in the world. And for Hanifin, if he signs a long-term extension with Vegas, like, that's a great place to play, where you know that there is a commitment to winning rather constantly. Like, it doesn't matter what prospects or what the veterans are doing, they will continue to make a push to try to make this team as good as possible. Deeds chiming in. Go Golden Stars. Yeah, 100%. It would be tough if Vegas ends up as a wild card team and Dallas wins the Central. That would, those two teams play in the first round. That would be a bit of a challenge and a bit frustrating. I guess, like, on the one hand, it guarantees that one of those teams moves on to the next round, but on the other hand, it guarantees that one of those teams is done. So, hopefully that doesn't play out. But yes, the Golden Stars are going to be the team that we're all cheering for. Maybe we'll make a mock-up of their logos combined a little bit later on. But, like I said, with Noah Hanifin, he'd been playing the best hockey, I think, of his career. We've talked about this before on this stream and on my podcast. It is certainly not a coincidence that that happens while he's playing with Tanev. I'm not saying that's the only reason. Like, he is a talented player. The skating ability for a defenseman is great. Like I said, his instincts in the offensive zone have, I think, improved greatly this year. And, oh, how did that stay out? And defensively, like, he has been exactly what you would want him to be. So, what's the legacy of Noah Hanifin in Calgary? They made the... Oh, that's a penalty. They made the trade featuring Dougie Hamilton. And, like, he was he and Lindholm big parts of that. Oh, penalty shot. And he was everything you would have wanted him to be, right? Like, he developed with this team. He got better as things went along. He was just a very, very good defenseman for this team for the entirety of his time with Calgary. And it's more a failure of the organization than of him that he didn't get into more playoff games or get more opportunities to shine on those big stages. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. Now then, all the attention here, because all the UFAs now are done, with all due respect to Greer. The UFAs here are done, so now the attention turns to Jacob Markstrom, who absolutely 100% should be traded. There's a chance it doesn't happen today, but I would be stunned if Jacob Markstrom isn't the starting goalie for this team, the starting goalie for this team come October next year, or next season. Like, it has got to the point where I don't think it can continue. And I just think it makes so much sense to move him now. Like, the Devils won. I was talking about it on my podcast yesterday. If the Devils get a goalie and maybe another defenseman, they could win the Stanley Cup. Like, their offense is that good. They are that talented of a team that if they got a Jacob Markstrom, they would be one of the teams who it is possible to see win a Stanley Cup this season. And so I think it just makes too much sense for them to, like, pass this up. It now comes down to the Flames. And if the Flames are still holding on to any kind of playoff hopes, that's insane. Like, the Penguins are talking about blowing it up, and they have Sidney Crosby. They're going to try to make it so that they're better next year. Seattle is ahead of the Flames, or at least they were at different points, and they're making blow-it-up type of moves. So I think it is... It's like, it's so typical Flames. Well, that's not where that was supposed to go. It's so typical Flames. And it makes no sense at all to think that, oh, well, this team can make the playoffs, or maybe it's next year with Jacob Markstrom. I don't understand it. They have not shown, aside from, like, they've played good teams well, for sure. But they have not shown on a consistent basis that they're a playoff team. If they did, they'd be in a playoff spot. And also, it's tough to make up this kind of ground. Like, they went 7-3 in 10 games and lost ground to Nashville, who went on an 8-game winning streak. So it's really difficult to make up that sort of ground when you play your best hockey of the year and you actually lose 2 points in the standings. So I don't think that there is any legitimate reason to keep Jacob Markstrom. Also, he's pissed, right? Like, he just kind of doesn't want to be here. He had made up his mind that, okay, I'm moving to New Jersey. And then he looks around and, well, this isn't New Jersey. This is, I don't see DJ Pauly D anywhere. Where is, Mike, the situation? No, I'm still in Calgary? Okay. Like, that's a shitty thing to go through when you've negotiated this no trade so that you can kind of control where you're going. You've decided, all right, I'm going to go there, and now you're not there. That's kind of a shitty thing to go through. And he is, I think, rightfully pissed. So I think you also kind of have to factor that into the decision that he doesn't want to be here. Is that, like, I think he's a professional. I don't think he would let it get into the locker room and kind of poison the well here. But, like, what kind of Jacob Markstrom are you getting? Realistically. I think you have to make this move. The other part of it that doesn't make any sense to me as to why they aren't doing this. You have the heir apparent in your building in Dustin Wolf. Like, he is here all the time. It's not like, with all due respect, you're going with Dan Vladar and Oscar Donsk for next season, right? Like, you have the guy who's going to replace them in your building right now, so it doesn't make any sense to me. And yeah, Deeds 100%. I need T. Jagila in the Flaming Sea. That is now the goal. That's the thing to get excited about, is if you're able to bring that kid in. And it's not just a little Nepo hire or anything like that, right? It is 100% a guy who, like, is playing very good at the Junior Hockey League level, has pretty clearly taken a step up this year, will be there in the draft wherever they are taking. Oh, damn, that was a shot, hey? He will be there whenever they are taking. And so I think it does make a lot of sense that he would be the target for a lot of people based on his name, but also based on his productivity. Yeah, the way upper management kibosh that trade, but we'll trade everyone else. Yeah, that one's shitty. It's a shitty way to handle that situation. And like I said, like, Wolf's right there. Wolf is right there. So just roll with him. It doesn't make any sense to me that they didn't end up making that move. And I've pointed out before, Deeds and Toxic, if you're still in here, Big John as well, has been hanging around while we've talked about this. I would look at other guys. I would. And, like, Coleman has a no move, so you would have to talk to him about it. But I think you talk to him and be like, hey, man, you see where this is going, right? If you want to be here and mentor a bunch of kids, love to have you. There are a few that'd be better at helping these players develop than Blake Coleman. So if you want to be around for that, cool. But if you don't, let's make something happen and get back something for you here. Same thing with Andrew Mangiapane. You guys know that I'm kind of out on Mange right now. And if you can get a team that still thinks there's 30-goal upside on there and would be willing to pay as such, I think you have to look at that as a potential option as well. Like, I think a lot is on the table now for the Flames. Now that they've got the big stuff that they had to get done, I think you can start to shift that focus a little bit. Like, I don't doubt that a lot of these guys are happy here and like it with this team, but, like, would you consider Nazem Kadri? Would you consider Blake Coleman or Mangiapane? Like, I don't think you can rule anything out with this team and the direction that they are trying to go right now. The Mangiapane one, you would have to, or sorry, the Nazem Kadri one, you would have to blow me away for that. Like, that would have to be basically an irresponsible trade on the other side to get that one to work for me. But I'm not hanging up the phone, right? So there's, I think, a lot of possibilities going on. While we were talking, I've kind of been rambling so far. Like Deeds and everyone's doing, if you guys want to get in on the chat, like, by all means, I promise I will get to it eventually. But we had some breaking news while I was kind of rambling. Was Joel Edmondson has been dealt to the Toronto Maple Leafs for a third and a fifth, it looks like. And Edmondson 50% retained. So the Leafs continue to do their D-man hunting here. I kind of thought the Leafs might have been a target for Noah Hanifin. I wonder if ownership was like, hey, let's not trade with that guy. But yeah, I just thought they had the draft capital and the prospects that interest me. Like Deed saying in the chat, because I know you guys can see it, but I'm also putting this audio up as a podcast, so that's why I kind of... And also, you know, shout out everyone who's in the chat right now, who's getting involved in all of this. But Deed saying, like, look, I get not wanting to go searching for that Kipper-level goalie. Oh, we had him beat. Yeah. All right. Sorry. I'll get to the chat of the next whistle. Sorry about that, dude. Oh, nice play, Hannifin. Oh, come on, Bex. There we go. Like, look, I get not wanting to go searching for that Kipper-level goalie and are worried about Wolf in the AHL level right now. I get it. But move Markey, who I love, and sell high. 100%. And, like, this year, there are so many goalie-needy teams right now that I think it just it makes it make sense for this team to really make this move. And it makes sense for the other teams, right? Like, Jacob Markstrom is a difference maker between the pipes. And so, like, I think it would make sense for these teams to try to do it. So I just, like, let Wolf develop here. You still have Vladar. Or fucking move Vladar. But you, like, you have Wolf. You have seen he has excelled at every level. And he has not been given, like, optimal situations to come in. Like, he's kind of just, like, popping in every now and then. It's, like, let him get accustomed to the NHL life. Let him get accustomed to NHL practices and NHL players on a day-in, day-out basis. And those numbers will improve. If you're going to wait for him to go, like, make five shutout or have five shutouts in a row coming from the AHL, it's not going to happen. There's going to be some lumps, but you're also not making the fucking playoffs this year. So take those lumps now in a season where it doesn't really matter, instead of waiting for next year when you probably shouldn't be, but when you are hoping that you will be a playoff team again. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand what they're doing. Every single logical sign points towards this team trading that dude this season. I can't think of one reason to not. Also retain the salary. Who cares? It's a couple million dollars over the next few years. Here inside the defensive zone, they get the puck. That one would be a bit more difficult to get another team involved in, but do it. Just do it. Ryan Huska apparently anticipates that Jacob Markstrom will start tonight against Tampa Bay. That makes a ton of sense. Although, if you're looking to trade the guy, you wouldn't be starting him tonight. So, I guess all of that ranting was to say, I don't know if he's going to get traded. I just think it makes it, like, I don't know. To me, it makes sense. Yeah, toxic, 100%. 100%. You have to trade Markstrom. He is 100% keeping this team mid right now. Like, they would have, that Seattle game, they would have got throttled with someone else in net, right? Like, Markstrom is very anti-team tank right now. And that's not the energy we can have. And again, you guys know, I am not the biggest team tank guy, because I never want losing to be okay in an organization. I think that's how you get the situation Edmonton was in for so long. No, it ends up, I guess, working out because they get Connor McDavid, but do you want to wait 10 years for a rebuild to work out? I think, was it on CJ's show, where he pointed out that the last time the Buffalo Sabres made the playoffs, one of the teams they beat out in the Eastern Conference was the Atlanta Thrashers. So, like, they haven't been in the playoffs the whole time Winnipeg has been in the league. Rebuilds can be tough. But I do think the Flames are going about this the right way with a bit more, like, young, proven talent coming in, such as the guy who just got his fucking head caved in Sharon Govich. But, I know rebuilds can be tough. Look at the team we're playing right now with Detroit, where it's been a bit since they've been able to fully get out of it. But yeah, it's difficult. Toxic, I must admit, Wolf has not looked great, but goalies take the longest to develop. Yeah, and he's been, like, no, he has not been great so far. I will grant you that. And you are also bringing him onto a team that now has kind of one hand tied behind their back defensively, because you've just traded two of, I mean, this whole season, you have traded three of your top six defensemen away, and you're replacing them with guys who couldn't crack the Vegas Golden Knights. So, like, you're not exactly playing with the 95 Devils out there, for sure. So that is maybe not necessarily putting him in the best case, best play, pace. Holy crap. That's why I don't do streams at 9 in the morning. Best place to succeed. But I think, like, it's been one game and then he's out. And it's been another game and then he's out. And it's down to the A and it's up in the N. And it's up and down. And da, 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 da. I think if you tell this kid, like, hey, you're our guy for the season, you're getting the starter whatever in practice, you are our dude, I think you'll see that consistency will help. That's my prediction. I have such a hard time, and it's happened, I just have such a hard time thinking that this guy has not just produced but excelled at every level that he has been in, and now we're going to discount him. I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm saying the organization is kind of doing this. We're going to discount him a little bit and buy more into five games in random spot starts than an entire career of excellent play. Dumb. I was looking to see if I missed out on anything on the Edmondson deal. I like that one for Toronto. Like, it's a couple of picks. Sorry about that. It's a couple of picks in mid to late rounds, and Edmondson is a solid defenseman who's going to help him to the playoffs. So I think that's a really, really good move for the Toronto Maple Leafs there. I'm not discounting him at all. I think the Flames have handled him poorly. Yeah, 100%. And I knew you weren't discounting him. I think any struggles that he has had has been just because of, like, any kind of organizational whatever. Alright, looks like it's another busy day here. Gustav Forsling, 8-year deal, $5.75 million. That might be a bit more than I'd want to spend on Gustav Forsling, but that's alright. Alright, Caps retain 50% on Edmondson. It's a 3rd round pick in 24 and a 5th round pick in 25. Yeah, fine bit of business there for the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think. Like, they very clearly needed help on that blue line. I don't get why they waited this long to try it, but this is another thing that I don't get. Like, Toronto has needed a defenseman all season long, but we're going to wait to the last possible second to trade for one in case something just pops up. Like, same thing in New Jersey, and I know New Jersey has been looking for it for a bit, but they've needed a goalie all season long, but now you're going to wait till the last possible second to make this trade. I don't get it. Oh, there we go. Needed that one. Raising that trade value, Blake Coleman. I've talked about it before. The one COVID year, I think, it was when the Blue Jays traded for Simber and Richards and those guys. Like, they made that move in, like, May or June. They recognized pretty quickly, like, oh, we don't have enough guys. And they went out and addressed that. And so now you get those guys for 80% of the season instead of the 30 that's left now. So while I get, like, deadlines push teams or whatever, I don't understand why you wouldn't, like, try to make those moves a little bit earlier. And now, like, part of it, like, Edmondson wouldn't have been available earlier, right? Like, Washington was still trying to be competitive. But, like, Tanev's been available all season. Hanifin's been available all year. Zadorov was available all season long. Like, I don't get why it takes until now for some of these teams to pull the trigger on deals like this. Blew. I guess part of it is you get to accrue cap space, so that helps it out a little bit, but I don't know, figure it out. Although I'm not sure if having three number seven defensemen playing regular minutes now is the best for Wolf's development either. No, and that's fair. Like, he is going to be behind a team that's not stellar defensively. But I think you have to, like, I think part of it is just getting used to the NHL speed, right? Like, you watch an AHL game and you watch an NHL game, and the biggest thing is how much quicker things are, right? Like, the NHL is a different beast. So that's, it's just, it's, I think you have to get him used to this level even if the, like, the defenseman that, the quality of the defenseman that he's playing behind, isn't a whole lot different in the AHL level compared to the NHL level. I understand that, but I think you just, like, get that NHL coaching, get the NHL experience, and, like I said, like, take your lumps now. This season doesn't mean shit anymore for the Flames. Don't tell him that. Like, still go out there and still try to produce, but if he has to take a couple of lumps, he has to take... I'd much rather it be this year when they're 9 points out than next year when there's hope. But no, like, I fully understand what you're saying, Toss. Like, 100%. Like, he is... There's a pretty good chance he gets shelled on a lot of nights, and that can not be great for a kid's confidence. On the opposite end, if he just, like, all of a sudden is lighting it up while facing 40 shots a game, then that's killer for his confidence. So I think you would have to have a few mature conversations with him, like, look, we think very highly of you. We think you're very talented. We also fully understand that what's happening in front of you is not optimal NHL defense. So you go out there and just control what you can control and make the saves you're supposed to make. And if our team lets you down, our team lets you down. But just know that we know we're letting you down.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.